Welcome to An Examined Education, a podcast recorded at the Cambridge School, a Christian classical school in San Diego, California, where we examine an education worth pursuing.
On today's episode, Jeff and I sit down with Gene Kim, the headmaster of the Cambridge School, to talk about what Cambridge education looks like during the COVID pandemic. We wanted to give you a quick perspective, kind of behind the scenes of the nuts and bolts of some of the decisions we made, why we made them, and how we're trying to execute on what we find as a compelling mission, even in difficult times. We appreciate you tuning in, and we are going to try to keep content coming at our regular schedule. You may just have to forgive us for some of the poor audio quality as we all record in closets and living rooms spread throughout Southern California. Without further ado, here's Jeff Yoder.
Gene, we're so grateful to have you here with us today. And DJ, you're here too.
I'm here. This is the exact distance that I want to be.
From me?
From you at all times. Hey, have you been cutting your own hair?
For those who can't see me, my hair is challenged. And so I have been cutting my hair since college when I did have hair. Now that I don't have hair, I mean, I still have hair, but not in all the right places. So I shave it.
Well, you look great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Gene, we're glad you're here with us today. These certainly are unprecedented times. And I'd love to get your perspective on some things. We're in just a new normal, a new world of Zoom meetings and everything being done online and in the corner of my bedroom with a new desk that I got. I just came in. It's pretty nice. But Gene, as you lead the school and lead this community, I was curious about how you came to some of the decisions you did and what are some of the guiding principles that you're using right now?
Sure. Yes, this is an unusual time for everyone. I don't think anyone would have expected this or wanted this way, but we're hopefully getting some good things out of our time away from school. Anyways, we established a COVID task force team probably in early March, soon as we started to realize that it was affecting Italy enough that it canceled our Italy trip, that it was going to affect our trip to Washington, D.C. for our juniors and our trip to the East Coast for Williamsburg in fifth grade. And so as those trips started to cancel, we started to realize this is a big deal and it's only going to get bigger. And so we established a COVID task force that consisted of our leadership team and the nurses. And each day we would get together to have a briefing on the daily news and to figure out what new guidance had been issued that day regarding schools and whether schools would need to be closed or we needed to do anything differently. And it was just a very difficult time to figure out because there was new guidance really every day, every few hours. There was something new coming out that we had to stay on top of. It came a little sooner than we had expected. We were planning for it. We were beginning to choose our online platforms. We were trying to make all these plans. And then all of a sudden, the stay at home order came down. And on March 13th, we closed our campus rather abruptly, like most other places and schools and businesses. And we gave ourselves 2 days to shut down on a Monday and a Tuesday in order to help our teachers adjust and figure out how to do online schooling. And on Wednesday, we were up and running online. It was really a very quick timeline, but one we're glad that we made for the good of the public, for the good of the vulnerable among us, for the good of doing our part to help flatten the curve and keep this at bay as long and as much as we're able to.
So, Gene, obviously this hasn't happened before in our lifetime, and it's so new and unprecedented. What kind of guiding principles did you use to help make decisions through all of this?
Well, we were just trying to think again missionally, which is the focus of every decision we try to make at the school. And so one of the main things that we wanted to prioritize was keeping the main thing the main thing. And that is that we are a school, that we're a classical Christian school. That is our mission. We wanted to continue to form and shape our students in wisdom and virtue. We wanted them to continue to learn how to think well and very carefully, how to love the right things, and then how to go on to live wisely in the world. And so keeping that the main focus of any of our decision making for going online and whatever decisions came after that was paramount. And then secondly, we wanted to maintain our culture. The special things about the school are really the things you can't see, and it's the stuff that just lives in the hallways and on the walls and in between people. And so that community and culture that we have is what we wanted to make sure that we could try to maintain even from in an online fashion, which is difficult to do, but we're finding some creative ways to do that still. And then thirdly, we were just asking ourselves questions about, okay, there's initial problem solving to be done about how to create a new schedule, how to get online, what platforms we're going to use, what kind of boundaries and things we're going to create for our students, et cetera. But the main thing was, after that, you want to think about how can we come out of this stronger than we were before? What kinds of decisions that are we going to make that will help us emerge on the other side of this when this is over, because at some point it's going to be over. So that will guide us in terms of becoming a better, stronger school on the other side.
How did you come to the end result of the online platform? So we were done with school on Friday, took the weekend, and then there was some teacher training on like Zoom and Google Classroom on Monday and Tuesday. And then boom, we were up and running on Wednesday. What did that weekend look like? DJ, I think you were involved in building some of those schedules out. What were some of the conversations about moving from what we typically do in the classroom and the current curriculum into an online version?
There was a lot of thought that went into those schedules, and I'll let DJ talk about those more. But I think really we do care a lot about the relationships and the amity that the teachers and the students share. That's really the foundation of our classical Christian education. And so finding ways to incorporate and keep and maintain those relationships, even in an online setting, was of real importance to us in creating new schedules to go online. Yeah, on top of that, just thinking through, you know, how do we execute on our mission, even though it looks different and the platform is different? You know, what can we do to maintain elements of our educational experience, even online? Because if our education were just about information dump, we would have done online education a long time ago. But really, it's not just about the information, as we always say, it's really about the formation that the students are experiencing. And so we were trying to run everything through the grid of how can we not just do information dissemination when we go online, but continue to maintain the formative qualities and the formative nature of the education that we're providing. So maybe DJ, you could speak a little bit more about the upper school schedule, and I could get to some of the grammar school schedule.
Sure. You know, as Jean said, there was a lot of moving pieces at different levels at the school. Obviously, there was the task force that was taking care of a whole host of decisions and things behind the scenes. And then once the announcement gets out, you know, we brought the whole upper school together in the Great Hall and kind of made this announcement, had the students kind of clear out their lockers. And then it was a lot of kind of like huddling amongst the teachers and leadership teams trying to figure out, you know, what platforms are we going to use? How are we going to try to translate what we do in the classroom to an online medium? I think it was that night, Jean, that you had a consultant kind of help us, somebody who's done some classical work through distance means before. And so we're kind of taking notes and asking questions and trying to think through, in the span of about an hour and a half, what are all of the possible questions we could have. We decided to use Zoom, like a lot of other institutions and things had used, a combination of Zoom and Google Classrooms. Those were a little bit easier decisions to make. The big decisions that we had to make from kind of an administrative level was the scheduling. And so a few of the department chairs came in and were kind of all day Saturday working through what does an upper school student schedule look like. And we were trying to kind of juggle a whole host of commitments. I mean, we wanted to be able to keep up some degree of intentional academic work. We wanted to be able to create space for the mentoring relationships that are primary in an education like ours, the relationship between students and then students and faculty, and faculty amongst the faculty as well, for that matter. And then we also didn't want to have our students, we're a really low-tech school, and we didn't want to have the students on their screens all day long. And so even in a time like this, we wanted to make sure that we were doing everything we could to kind of provide occasions for breaks from the online kind of ecosystem. Essentially, we just tried to mimic our school schedule, but in a kind of truncated fashion. And so we came up with a block schedule that allowed for all of our classes to continue to have some time with the larger group of students. Maybe the kind of bigger and more important work that we did was scheduling out some conference times so that we could try to schedule each teacher some time with a much smaller group of students so that they could touch base, be it academically or relationally oriented. And so on top of our kind of truncated block schedule, we worked hard to be able to kind of notch out some time where we meet with anywhere between 3 and 6 students independent from our classes to touch base. And those can be follow-ups on class discussions. Those can be new spaces for smaller discussions to happen. Frankly, a lot of the times it's just kind of checking in, seeing how students are doing, if there's ways that, you know, we can help them throughout this time. And I've been playing some online Pictionary against some students and showing off my artistry at times just to kind of give them a break from some things. So that was kind of an essential component and remains an essential component of our schedule as we work through this.
Yeah, the grammar school level, yeah, we have a really different, I'm really grateful for the upper school and how much time and intentionality the department chairs and our upper school principal, Melissa, put into thinking about the schedule, because it seems like what they produced at the end was what ended up being kind of the best practices that other organizations and things started putting out about what online schooling could look like. And they had come to it just by thinking about the humanity of our students and about what their needs were and about the needs of the faculty and what our priorities are as a school. And it was wonderful to see somehow like all those things ended up creating stuff that other people in other schools started to see as a best practice. In the grammar school, it had to look very, very different. It's hard to be an intentionally low-tech school where we have no screen time and no devices in the classroom on purpose all the way through sixth grade. And then all of a sudden tell the grammar school students, you're going online. A lot of them don't know how to type. A lot of them, you know, they're digital natives and they can navigate this world easily, much more easily than the adults, I think. But still, it's quite an adjustment to go from being intentionally on low tech to online. And so for the grammar school students, especially we were at the younger end from the kindergarten through like third grade or so, we just had to try to think very creatively about how to make their schedule work, especially because we're trying to be mindful of the fact that parents of students at that age usually have multiple young children, a lot of them who are also young, and trying to manage kids getting online and managing live instruction and then managing their homework and all the printing papers and managing the paper flow, the younger classroom. And so we decided to go for the youngest students a little more asynchronous instead of having a lot of live instruction where there might be a high demand for devices in the house at the same time or a high demand for internet bandwidth at the same time, or a high demand where parents who are trying to work from home and work full time are trying to manage their younger children. We decided for the youngest children to give them a little bit of live time, consistency and routine and relationship every day, and then a series of asynchronous previously recorded things that still are their teachers doing what seems like live instruction, but isn't, so the parents could play it for the kids at whatever time worked best for them. And then a lot of independent work that goes with that to provide them with as much flexibility as possible. And what we were trying to do deliberately was to phase this in, especially for the grammar school, is that we just wanted to get everyone online with our core subjects and disciplines and then expand it eventually to include more of the specials classes and more of the special things that we do outside of that. And so we are moving towards not just required things, but recommended time online. And then here's optional time online for those families who were like, please give me more. We have kids in the afternoon. I got to work. You know, I would love for them to have a little more stuff to do if they'd like. And, you know, it really helped us meet the needs of all kinds of parents, who some of whom said, please don't give us any more. We are overwhelmed by the number of children we have, the number of different lessons and things that we have to stay on top of. So we don't want any more. So having that required, recommended, and then optional choices for our younger families, I think that's been a really intentional and thoughtful way to meet their various needs.
Mm-hmm. DJ, I'd like to come back to you just to ask, since you're the only teacher here in the room, what a Zoom class is like with the students in there. And I know myself, right? And I know every Zoom call, I'm like making faces and changing the background and just being a little silly. Is that distracting to you when students do that?
You know, I've only seen a few playful seventh graders do that. I've not had that problem, but but I know that you and the playful seventh grader have a lot in common. So.
I think I'm eternally 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoom classroom. Yeah, I mean, I'll say a couple things. One, it's not the table. You know, it's not the classroom, and you feel that. Sometimes, you know, you feel it more than others, but at the same time, you know, we took those few days off, and even coming after coming back from spring break, it is nice, you know, to see your students' faces and to see one another. And so it's certainly not ideal. It's not the same kind of communal space that kind of like shared table is. You know, teachers have to learn how to read body language a little bit differently. You know, I've come to like read the unmuting of oneself as essentially a kind of a raised hand or a moving forward to kind of speak. You know, it's a little exhausting to get used to, but yeah, it's fine. We're all trying to kind of figure out exactly how to kind of replicate some kind of communal discussive space, while still having to kind of deal with various technological issues and, yeah, the awkwardness of only being a bust in everybody's monitor. But, you know, we're finding things that work. We're finding things that don't work. I think that once we all started getting used to things, we were able to kind of fall into some patterns that we had in the classroom. So yeah, it's got, as I think it was a postman who said, you know, there's extensions and amputations to any technology. And it certainly, you know, we feel both of those things. It is nice, you know, that the student who's not always like, who wouldn't be feeling well enough to show up to a class responsibly can log into Zoom. You know, so there's something good about that. You know, we've got attendance even in the midst of, you know, pandemic or flu season or cold season, you know, everybody's there and that's great. But it certainly has its amputations as well.
Have you handed out any uniform infractions?
I haven't, but I've been taking attendance.
Nice. That's good. Do you ever hand out uniform infractions?
This is not a conversation to have with Gene on the line.
Okay, sorry.
I will have to say that I think that was a good decision on our parts to have the students wear their uniforms. I know it's strange for them to wear their uniforms at home while they're doing this, but there's an intentionality around that too. Just like people who work at home, you know, it's best for them, you know, best practice for them to get dressed and get ready for school and get ready for their work day. And we wanted the kids to have the same experience as they came to school online, even though it's from their own bedrooms, that experience of getting dressed, putting your uniform on, and that being what you see in the online classroom just helps them to get in the mindset that this is their vocation right now, to be students and to continue learning, that this is not a vacation from that intentional learning environment they've always been in.
I'd like to move on. The second priority, Gene, that you talked about was kind of maintaining our culture and community. There's been a ton of ways that we've been able to kind of ratchet up our communications and social media and blogs and things like that. Can I bring Jake into this?
I'm going to write him a uniform violation.
So I'd like to bring in Jake. Jake is our marketing and communications coordinator, and he's also producing all of these podcasts that you hear. So he's always in the background. You just don't hear him.
Jake is also my little brother, so I have some responsibility here on the podcast. Throw him under the bus.
So Jake, I'd love to hear what you've done to kind of increase, at least from the communications point of view, to continue to keep that thick culture and community.
Yeah. So I know that our administration has been reaching out to a lot of our families, seeing if they have anything that they need, how they're doing as a family. You know, a lot of them own businesses, and seeing how all that is going. Obviously, this is a big change for a lot of parents. A lot of parents are working from home, and now they've got their kids at home. So I know that our administration has been reaching out to them and seeing how that's going. We've been increasing our social media presence a lot. We've been playing a game called Guess Who, just to have fun. We've also been doing Cambridge Cares on social media. We've been highlighting Cambridge community-owned businesses. We've got a couple of service industry businesses owned by families that we've been highlighting and seeing exactly how the Cambridge community can support those businesses. We've been posting blogs regularly every week. Those have included virtual field trips, concerts and activities, at-home activities, how Cambridge has responded to the COVID-19 epidemic. And the last blog that we put up was creating order and chaos, building routines for your family in a time where you don't know what time of day it is. You don't know what day of week it is. It is important to put routines in place in order to make some semblance of a structure within your day. We have been providing those things for our families so that hopefully it can make this new and unprecedented time a little bit easier on them. So we've been, what events that we can maintain, we've been maintaining. We just did the kindergarten readiness seminar. We did it online. Luis was able to do that in an online platform, which was really great. Got some great feedback on it. We've also added some new events, including Griffin's Got Talent, in which our students show off some of their individual talents, whether that's playing piano or doing cannonballs into a pool, and bringing in the community on that. We are coming up with a pet showcase here coming up, where people will show off anything from snakes to dogs to pet rocks, who knows. And then we're going to do a second round of Griffin's Got Talent here coming up. So we're just trying to reach out to our community and engage them and keep them feeling like they're part of Cambridge in a time where we're all so distant. So it's really been great to see the response to that. And I think that our families really appreciate that outreach, and that we are really trying to maintain that community among a potentially community-breaking pandemic.
We have a particular culture and community, and we've just been able to increase the online versions of face-to-face things to be able to really connect with one another as best we can. The Griffin's Got Talent a couple of weeks ago was so much fun. You know, you have a couple hundred people all coming in, and there were like 12 different acts of little kids performing at home. And we're going to do a second episode of that in a couple of weeks. Next Friday, we do the pet showcase, which I do have a puppy that will make an appearance there. So that'll be fun. And then I would say what's been really meaningful is that our administration have been making phone calls and emails and texts to each family and each friend of the school and community member to see how they're doing, and just trying to connect relationally one-on-one with each family. And it's been good to hear feedback and see how we can support and pray for our families.
Yeah, and our even our moms group and parents group that pray, like Moms in Prayer and Parents in Prayer, they're still gathering and meeting. Our faculty is meeting to pray via Zoom, and it's been wonderful in those ways to be able to continue the things that make our community really special. If I think of all the things that is, it's definitely the people and the community and the culture we have.
In grammar school, they did a movie night, right? Didn't they watch Charlotte's Web all together? And it was that third grade. And then they just did the Rhodopis, the play.
The Rhodopis play. They tried to manage it on Zoom. Today they did Prophets Speak, which is a very difficult musical to pull off on Zoom, but they made it happen. And so they really are trying to keep as much of the richness of the curriculum alive and well.
I hope this the situation of doing school from home ends soon, and that we can all be back together. I know a lot of things have to happen until that can take place. But as we listen to the news and take our guidance from experts, until then, we are here doing everything remotely and at a distance.
I just want to reiterate as we're closing up here that, you know, these challenges will come and go, and different things will be challenges at different points in the life of the school and from the life of our students. But our mission is such a compelling one that whether we're doing it online, even though it's less than ideal and not the fullness and robustness of what we would want, then we just do have such a compelling mission and vision. And the way it's being executed, even online, I think has been really remarkable. And so I really want to, one, thank our teachers and our staff for working so hard for getting us up and running so quickly and doing it in such a mission true kind of way, and doing it in such a way that so many people have come back and told us that they're really, really grateful for what their kids are able to receive during this time, even if it's not the full expression of what we'd like to do. But it really is a good thing to keep on doing, because it's not just information. It really is that formation that we're looking for, and it's happening even online. So thank you to everyone.
Well, Jean, thank you so much for your leadership during this time. Thank you for being on the podcast today and giving us the Cambridge approach to COVID-19. DJ, it's just always a pleasure to be with you.
I just miss you so much, Jeff.
I cannot wait to be in the same room.
Well, until that time, I'm DJ.
And I'm Jeff.
See you later. Thanks for listening to An Examined Education. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to check out our website, schedule a tour, reach out to the advancement office. We'd love to see you. And we'd love to hear what you have to say about the podcast. So be sure to check us out on your favorite social media platform. Again, that's at An Examined Education. Leave us a comment, rate and review, and we'll see you next time.